This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
So just a matter of weeks ago, we were kind of touting Spurs to have a great season and do something in the Champions League, as also as them being the main challengers to Man City in the Premier League. That doesn't seem to be happening right now. They've only got two wins in the last six games. They're now in seventh place, and that's after a bit of a trouncing at the weekend to Man City.
Sorry, Tottenham.
Tottenham, what?
It's our fault.
Your fault? Sorry, I thought you said...
No, my fault. It's our fault collectively. Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, I didn't say anything. It was you two.
I've apologised to Tottenham.
I'm blaming you personally, Neil.
Okay. It's our fault
that they've clearly lost their form since they decided they were going to be challenging.
I mean, what has gone wrong? Because the last time we talked about it was just before that London derby, and they did. They looked in great form. I think most people in the country would have said you'd fancy Tottenham winning that game against Arsenal. Didn't go that way, and it's been a bit of a downward spiral since. What has happened?
I think it's a case of you have a number of players, and this is going to sound simplistic, but they have a number of players who are out of form, and the top teams generally have the depth to cope with that, and Spurs don't really have that. And I think you're maybe seeing now the effect of a summer where they didn't sign as many players as their rivals. At the time, we all saw the positive in that. It forged a team. You know, we saw the season before with Chelsea, who won the title, that maybe signing players in the summer wasn't the be-all and end-all. However, in this case, I think, yes, there's no doubting, I think Spurs starting 11 is as good, really, as most teams in the Premier League. Everyone bar the obvious one, I would say. But behind that, they do lack a little bit. And I think when you're coming into, now we're coming into the busiest time of the season, I think we've started to see that. And I do worry for them, because we're only just at the start of this kind of really busy Christmas period, and they do look quite tired and short of ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've already talked about Man City last season, how their strength seems to be that they have so many options. And I think Tottenham, much like a lot of the teams actually in the Premier League, I think, are so reliant on individual talent. You know, we've seen Man United struggle when Pogba's not in form. We've seen Arsenal struggle when Ozil doesn't bother his arse. And we've now seen, you know, Tottenham when maybe they're losing their central defender, or Harry Kane maybe doesn't on his form as it would be, or Dele Alli's maybe loses his head. We really see them struggle. And I think the big deal at Tottenham, perhaps more so, and I'm just kind of echoing what Graham said here, but they don't really seem to have that strength and depth, particularly up front, I think. I think that's something that could be, well, as we are now seeing, it's a problem for them.
One of the real worries for Spurs is I wouldn't even say Harry Kane is out of form. He's just not performing at the levels he has been, where he scored 50 goals in 50 games. And if this is the drop-off when he's just playing, you know, mediocre, what's the drop-off going to be like if he's completely out of form, completely and utterly out of form? That's a worry.
Has Mauricio Pochettino got to take any sort of blame here, or is it really, can he not account for players being in and out of form at certain points in the season?
I think he does need to take a bit of blame, and I would say that's one negative of the weekend's defeat to City, is after the game he came out and he wasn't really willing to accept there were things to address. He basically said, oh, if these kind of things, if we play at this level, will even themselves out. Well, you've won two out of the last six. I don't think that's really down to misfortune. And equally, I don't think their start to the season was down to good fortune. So I don't know whether that's just a public front he's putting on, but I think he needs to rotate his squad a little bit more. But the paradox with that, of course, is they don't have the depth to do that. So he is in a difficult position. I just would like him to be a little bit more forthcoming with the issues.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tottenham's record against the top six speaks for itself, and it does suggest that there's something gravely wrong with how Pochettino set up this team, especially away from home. And we saw it again against Man City. We saw a team who comfortably, I think, overcame that Tottenham side. And it doesn't look like Tottenham really, or Pochettino's really that interested in being a bit more pragmatic or being a bit more defensive when he comes up against these better teams. And if that's the case, then, you know, you can have as many reserve wingers or strikers as you want, but if the manager's not going to set the team up properly, it doesn't really matter.
Is the other way to look at it, though, they're seventh at the moment, is it more to do with a more competitive league in terms of pretty much all the squads around them have strengthened? You've even got teams like Everton, who now are on the rise, but they've spent an absolute fortune in the summer. Is it a case of maybe Tottenham haven't strengthened or spent as much as the teams around them?
Well, I was looking through the results, and two wins out of six games sounds really bad. I was looking through those six games, and there was only really one that struck me as a complete shock, and that was Leicester, where they got beat by Leicester. The other ones were Arsenal, Manchester United, Manchester City, and okay, the Arsenal one, you could say they were should have probably won that game. They were the better team with better form heading into that North London derby, but I don't know. I do think it's competitive. I was speaking to you before we started filming this, Neil. I have no idea how good this Premier League is. There's been times where I think it's really high quality, then they do well in Europe, and that backs that up. But then I think, well, is it just the case that the European teams are not as high quality as they were? So I actually have no idea how good this top six is. But what I do know is it's highly competitive. You know, behind, again, the obvious one, that the five out of the six are really tightly packed together. So yeah, it's an illustration of how if you even just lose games that that could go either way, 50-50 games like the Manchester United and Arsenal and so on, you can end up down in seventh place. Of course, there's the anomaly up there at the moment, which is Burnley, who I think everyone, a few years ago, everyone would have went, oh, they'll fall away. But Leicester have, you know, warped all our minds now, and they're probably going to go on and win the league.
I'm buzzing, can't wait. We talked about Kane a bit there, and he's, I think you said it kind of best, Graham, that he was in ridiculous form where you can't play like that all the time unless you're like a Messi or Ronaldo. Like, he was ridiculous, probably some of the best stats in Europe for a striker. Now, as you say, I don't think he's playing particularly badly, but are they too reliant on him? Because they are missing his goals, that's a given.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that they are relying too much on Kane. When you look at like his contribution, as like his goals compared to the rest of the team, it's something like 38%, I think. All I know is it's like 10% more than like Lukaku, Salah, Aguero, players like that. So teams around them. So he's undoubtedly carrying more weight, or you know, more water, whatever you want to call it, than his counterparts in other teams. And you have to look around the players that he has in as well in attack, and no one else is really picking up goals. Sure, you've got your Llorente, who's the backup striker, who's done relatively well in Europe. He's only played like 100 minutes in the Premier League this season. And the big one for me is actually Dele Alli. Last season he scored like 18 Premier League goals. He was basically scoring a goal every other game. This season he's got like three, you know, and it's almost Christmas. So I don't know what's going on in Dele Alli's head. Maybe he's playing a different position. He's been asked to play a different style, but he's not picking up the goals he should be picking up. And I think Kane's kind of masked over that for a large part of this season. And we're now beginning to see the cracks in that, because you've got players like Son or Eriksen, who are all fantastic players going forward, but they're not really goal scorers, you know. So
yeah, Llorente, I would say, has been a decent signing. However, he's a strange one, and he's not a goal-scoring striker, which is what Spurs need.
He's more the Emil Heskey to the Michael Owen.
Yeah, exactly. Harry Kane is, you know, about three times taller than Michael Owen. But yeah, exactly. You know, Fernando Llorente comes on to almost get more out of Harry Kane rather than as a backup option or to give Kane a rest. He doesn't score a lot of goals, and I think that's all right. But I think you do need a third option to bring something a little bit different.
What do they need apart from a striker in January? Do they need to strengthen from back to front, or is there just certain kind of tweaks that can be made that will get their season back on track?
Yeah, I think there are a couple specific players. If we're looking at a striker, I know I'll come on to players besides strikers, but if I was Spurs, I would be making a bid for Jamie Vardy in January. I know he's not the most spectacular option. He's not going to win them the Champions League, but he offers them something a little bit different. He would stretch the pitch, which I think is what Spurs need. They don't have anyone to get in behind. Harry Kane's a complete striker. Fernando Llorente's a bit more of a target man. Vardy would give them a good variation. I also think he'd probably be quite open to the idea of moving, because he rejected Arsenal when Leicester were in the Champions League and so on. They're not there anymore, so they've got Champions League football to offer him. So I'd be testing Leicester there a little bit. And then the other one, I think, is obviously they have the best centre-back pair in the Premier League. I still think they do, with Vertonghen and Alderweireld, who's injured. And that's why I think they either need... Eric Dier's reasonably... I know he had a shocker against Manchester City at the weekend, but I think he is adept at filling in there. But they need... Then Spurs then miss him in central midfield. So they either need someone who can play as a deputy for Dier or another centre-back. They need one of the two there, so that's what I'd be aiming for.
Would you agree with that? Is there anything else you'd even add to that wish list?
Yeah, I mean, Graham kind of covered almost their position there. But I, again, just repeat myself, they really need some goal-scoring wide forwards. I mean, I don't have anyone particularly in mind, but it just seems like such an obvious case to me where you have so many playmakers in that team from the centre midfield position and so many outstanding attacking fullbacks as well that, for some reason, they don't really seem to have as many goals coming from wide.
Do you think they need to sign these new players or just find out? Because I would argue Dele Alli last season was a goal-scoring wide forward. Mm-hmm. Son, you could argue, is a goal-scoring wide forward. Do they need new players, or do they just need to find a way to get better, more out of those players?
I'm a really big... I mean, obviously, I'm not saying they should go find someone to replace Dele Alli. They need to figure out what he's doing, because obviously if he's out of form, they need to have someone who can step in and maybe, you know, it's that idea of like sparring for position. If Dele Alli is probably in a position of privilege if he's not particularly performing that well this season, and no one's really talking about it, and no one's really talking about him getting dropped, because there's no one on the bench who can come off and, you know, replace him, or at least, you know, light a fire underneath him. And I think Son's probably a perfect example of that too. I don't think Son's a really weird one for me. I don't think he's the most technically gifted player. I don't think he's the most talented player in the Premier League, but he's and it was the same when he was playing in Germany. He was never this great goal scorer or great forward, but he was really good. He had a great ethic, and, you know, he was a really good big game player as well, but I never thought of him as a consistent goal scorer. Even just one player who can play in the wing and offer a bit of competition, both of them, to score some goals would make a huge difference, I think.
I know I've already mentioned one Leicester player, and I don't know if you could do a complete raid of them, but if it was an option, if it was viable, you'd be saying Vardy and Mahrez would be two perfect signings to add those, the two things they need in the final third.
Do you think if they don't strengthen, they face a fight to keep in that top four, never mind... Well, we were touting them. Well, I say we. You guys were touting them for the title.
Distance yourself.
You guys are touting them for the title, or challenging for the title. Are they going to struggle to be in the top four, or do you feel this is a rough patch they'll get through?
I do think they will struggle to get in the top four. I think Arsenal have kind of turned the corner, in particular with two players, Ozil, who seems to finally decide he's going to try and put himself in the shop window, and Alexis Sanchez is playing really well too, so it's not like Spurs have really taken advantage of that real dip from Arsenal. I do think they will struggle. I think obviously you'd think they'll finish ahead of Burnley, they'll probably finish in the top six. If they don't, they should be replacing Pochettino with Deitch. No, I'm just kidding there. That would be a complete 180 turn, wouldn't it? A man who eats gravel for his breakfast.
But, you know, have you got Pargiola? They didn't go with Deitch. Atino. Sorry, I just popped in my head there.
I think I think it will be a struggle.
I don't think it will.
Think they'll finish in top four?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why, because I think this kind of current run of form has to be kind of taken into context. We just talked about how they've already played most of the big teams, if not all of them, in the last, what, month, 6 weeks or something. Yeah. And you know, Tottenham have never been good at picking up points against the top six, you know, and I think everything has to kind of be taken into context that everyone is taking points off everyone in this mm-hmm. Premier League, except obviously Manchester City. So it's not as if they have to keep up with a great Man United or a great Chelsea and a great Arsenal. It's not as if there's like a race. There's three teams who are now you know pulling up the rear of that top four. I think there's going to be points going everywhere. We've seen Chelsea drop points as well, you know, easily, and Man United seem to bobble around from one month to the next. I don't believe for a second that Arsenal have any concept of consistency about them. We see this every season. They come and they have these purple patches once or twice a season. And recently we've seen that hasn't proved enough mm-hmm. to finish the top four. So I think, Tottenham have had a bad month, 6 weeks, but I think they will... I think they'll get back on track, and then they'll be just as good or just as bad as the rest of these teams who are kind of, you know, circling Manchester City.
The issue is, you know, there's three teams there I expect to be fighting for that final fourth place. I think Man United and Chelsea probably will finish as the top three with City. But between Arsenal, Liverpool and Spurs, I can't put too much between them. So when I say I think they'll struggle, I'm not saying ruling them out saying they won't finish top four. I just think that there will be a battle until the end of the season.
Would you prioritise Champions League over Premier League if you were a Spurs fan or if you were Pochettino?
No, because the Champions League is... qualification for the Champions League, what I mean, is everything, you know? I wouldn't think Spurs are going to win that, so it's not like Manchester United in the Europa League last season where they prioritised winning that because they knew they could win it and they probably should win it. Spurs probably aren't going to win the Champions League. They can make a run deep, and I get why some fans would be like, right, let's go for the Champions League, because I think they can do really well, but... For these clubs, the Champions League is almost literally everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've spoke last week about how Pep Guardiola, even in this magnificent Manchester City team, will be judged on the Champions mm-hmm. League. So, no, I wouldn't prioritise the Champions League over the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, unless they find themselves in the quarterfinals or semi-finals, out of just sheer chance, and they think, gosh, we could actually maybe have a go at this final, then obviously that'd be a defining moment in the club's history. But at this moment in time, they have to put finishing that top four above anything else. Not just in terms of a sport, I know it doesn't sound very sporting, but Tottenham's entire business model is based around becoming a Champions League team and becoming a top four side.
Especially with their stadium.
Yeah, of course.
And they can't do that if every time, you know, they see the bright lights of Europe, they throw their European, or they throw their league form under the bus.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.